Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Want to welcome the visitors today. We had a great concert last night. Amen. Oh, Justified Quartet. They lit it up. It was so good. I think we're probably feeling the residue. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now go back to John chapter 16. Just one verse I want to take a look at. John chapter 16. If someone could turn the lights back up, that'd be great. John 16, verse 13. Hallelujah. And it's Jesus saying this one word here, or this verse. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you, King James says, will show you things to come. Today I want to talk about a topic that every Christian needs to hear. Amen. Every Christian needs to hear this. You need to hear it, you need to understand it, and you need to put it into practice in your life. This topic that I'm going to talk about today has major consequences attached to it. Good consequences if you possess this thing, but very negative circumstances or consequences if you lack this one thing in your life. Today I want to talk about this. Keys to spiritual discernment. Keys to spiritual discernment. I want to share with you some characteristics about your born-again spirit man and the Holy Spirit that will help you discern between good and evil, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, between good and God. Come on, right? Between good and God in your everyday life, okay? What Christians have to understand is this. It's easier to be led by the Holy Spirit than what you even think. In fact, you're led by the Holy Spirit many times, and you don't even know it's the Holy Spirit. Many people think that it's this some kind, you have to have this spiritual vision, open vision, where you say, no, it's very easy to be led by the Holy Spirit. And again, you're led by the Holy Spirit many times, and you don't even know it or realize it. All right, so again, you do not have to be a spiritual Christian minister superstar to be led by the Holy Spirit. Discernment, I feel the anointing hit me right there. Discernment is Christianity 101. Say Christianity 101. What do I mean by that? It's basic. Say basic. It's basic for every Christian. So what is discernment? Let's start off right there. Let me define what discernment is. The word discern in the Greek means this: to perceive, to distinguish, or to separate, or to be able to judge something accurately and clearly. How many of you want discernment? Where you can look at a situation, a person, a circumstance, and you want to be able to judge. You want to be able to see it exactly how God sees it. so you can know if you need to avoid this thing or if you should embrace this thing. I mean, this message will change your life if you really take hold of this. Only the Holy Spirit can give us that kind of deep revelation and insight to what's going on around us. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen? Sure, the extreme evil things, all right? Those are clearly, you can see those very clearly, right? But what about those people or things that aren't so clear to us? That it doesn't look outwardly evil, but there's something behind the curtain. Come on. There's something behind the curtain that just isn't right, and we need not touch that thing. Amen? So we need discernment from the Holy Spirit. So understand this. When we talk about discernment, let's take it back to the basics. You are a spirit being. You possess a soul, mind, will, and emotions. And you live in an earth suit, in a physical body. You got to understand that before you can really understand what discernment is from the Holy Spirit and how to be led by Him, you got to understand you're a spirit being. Say, I am a spirit being that possesses a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and I live in a physical body. But the real me is a spirit being. You have to understand that, all right? So when you got born again, when you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, the Holy Spirit came inside of your spirit, man. He came inside of your spirit, man. He made a residence inside of your spirit, man. So you could say it this way then. The Holy Spirit leads us from our spirit, man, on the inside. He reveals things to us in our spirit. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now that word one literally means this, unity. Say unity. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, or you could say it this way, is in unity with the Holy Spirit. All right? In other words, the Christian that's joined to the Lord, let's break it down even more, because I know we quote things, but we really don't understand it. Let me break it down a little bit clearer for you. In other words, the Christian that's joined to the Lord in their thought life will feel the way the Lord feels about people, situations, and things. Your thought life is so important. We as Christians, we must maintain an awareness of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And we need to pay attention to what we are sensing on the inside. The key is simply this. Are you ready? Pay attention to the Holy Spirit in your thought life. Pay attention to what you're sensing on the inside and obey it. Now, here's the thing. When you're in unity with the Holy Spirit, like I said, many times you're being led by the Holy Spirit and you don't even know it. But here's the problem. You can be led by your own flesh. You can be led by your own carnal thoughts. So here's what you got to do. You need to go with the flow of what you're feeling on the inside, in your heart. Here's what you got to do. Don't go against the flow. Go with the flow of what you're feeling on the inside. Have you ever had a situation, you were in a situation, your head was saying one thing, but on the inside it didn't feel right? I'm not talking about your head. I'm not talking about your fleshly emotions. I'm saying what you're sensing on the inside, because that's where the Holy Spirit lives. So go with the flow of what you're feeling on the inside. Don't ever go against the flow. Follow peace. Don't fight against the peace on the inside. If you're truly joined with your spouse in your thought life, what happens? When you're joined with your spouse in your thought life, your line of communication is open up between you two. Is it not? Because you're taking their opinions into consideration in your life, right? If your spouse doesn't like something, you will know about it because of that close connection that you both have, and you're willing to listen to your spouse. Are you following me? It's no different with the Holy Spirit. The same is true with the Christian that is spiritually joined to the Lord with the Holy Spirit in their thought life. Here's what's going on. When you're acknowledging the Holy Spirit, when you're thinking about the Holy Spirit, when you want His opinion on something, you are doing this. You are placing value on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me that you're placing value something on that you never think about. You want to know what you place value on? What you're thinking about. What dominates your thought life? What dominates your heart? That is what you are putting value on. So when you're acknowledging the Holy Spirit, when you're keeping Him in your thought life, it means you're placing value on Him. And you're going to be more in tune with Him. Is this getting through? Nah. Are you hearing me now? Okay. So you are choosing not to lean on your own fleshly understanding, but rather you are acknowledging, you're paying attention to the Holy Spirit. And guess what Proverbs 3 says? When you do that, He will direct your paths. He will direct your... The Holy Spirit's always trying to direct your paths. The difference, the changing factor is this. Are you paying attention to Him? Are you paying attention to Him? He's always trying to lead us and guide us into all truth. It all comes down to, are you listening? Are you valuing Him enough to keep Him in your thought life? Just as if someone's walking with you and taking along with you all day. You have conversations with them. There's a relationship with them. The same, you need to treat the Holy Spirit as if He's in the flesh walking with you side by side. He's called the Paraclete, the one called alongside to help. But even better than the side, He lives within. Oh, He's so good. Amen. This is one of the treasures of the new covenant, is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, lives on the inside of us. And you don't have to live how the world lives, because you got a piece of heaven living in your spirit, man. And we need to take advantage of it. So because you are acknowledging and paying attention to the Holy Spirit, that line of communication is opened up, and that will release wisdom and understanding in your life about situations and people. The Holy Spirit is desiring to lead and guide you into all truth and deliver you from every lie, from every deception of the enemy, and from the people that would try to lie to you. And anybody try to deceive you before or lie to you? Absolutely. How many of you, have you ever had it where someone lied to you, but you knew on the inside, yeah, they're lying? That's the discernment of the Holy Ghost. So the Christian that is acknowledging the Holy Spirit in their life can trust the leading of His spirit man. But the unbeliever cannot trust their heart. An unbeliever is led by three things. Listen to me. The unbeliever is led by sin, the flesh, and demons. Now, you want, listen to this. Are you ready for this? I'm going to drop a truth bomb on you right now. A Christian also has those three options. A Christian can be led by sin, by the flesh, and by demons. But there's one added thing that the Christian has that the unbeliever doesn't. And who is it? The Holy Ghost. That is the game changer. The Holy Ghost is our game changer. We can be led by the other three like the unbeliever, but they don't have the Spirit of the living God that raised Jesus from the dead living in them. We do. What's our excuse? We're not paying attention. We're not valuing the Holy Ghost. You're not putting value on the Word of God. You want to hear more from the Holy Ghost? You want to be more tuned in? Put value on the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit's the author of the Word. If you want to impress the Holy Ghost, get into the Word more. Put more value on the Word. I don't know, he's just a little jealous of the fact, right? He's the author. He likes when people get into his book. Amen. So a Christian has those three options, but again, there's that added option that we have that the unbeliever doesn't, and that is the precious Holy Spirit. Now, in this fallen world in which we live, we are in great need of spiritual discernment, where we can judge rightly. Amen? The Christian who sharpens up their spiritual discernment will be a person that will be saved, listen to me, from much heartache, pain, and loss in their life. They will avoid foolish pitfalls and needless pain in their life. There are two important parts when you're talking about discernment. There are two important points and parts that a Christian must have. Number one, you need to receive the discernment. That's pretty important, right? You need to receive the message. So that means you're paying attention, right? But here's the other thing. Just as important, maybe even more important, you need to obey the discernment when you get it. What's the point of getting discernment if you're not going to listen to it and obey him? Amen. So you need to obey. You need to receive, but then you need to obey. All right? It does no good to have that discernment and not obey it. Go to Hebrews 5 with me real quick here. Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. Hallelujah. I got a 9-pager here, so we're make yourself comfortable right now. We're going to get through it together. All right. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. And it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to have need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk," say milk, "is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use," look at this, "have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." This is a real interesting verse here. I want you to notice that you need the milk of the word. Amen? We need the milk of the word. That's the basics of the word. We need a foundation. And we need to constantly... You're never too old to drink spiritual milk. Come on. We always got to refresh ourselves of the basics in the word of God. But we should not stay there. Once you have the foundation, we need to build on that foundation. Amen? So it says, "But to exercise..." or to use your senses, to your spiritual senses, to discern good and evil, it says this, that we need solid spiritual food. In other words, that person, a person that's only being fed the milk of the word their whole Christian life, it says that they're not going to have as sharp of discernment to judge between good and evil. Did you catch that in that verse? An example, maybe it's a Christian who is allowing witchcraft stuff in their house, whatever, or something. They're allowing something from the world, something that's evil into their house or their children, whatever, okay? That's just an example. But those Christians, listen to me, those Christians, they hear the milk of the word, but the solid teachings, the solid food, the solid spiritual food are the teachings that take them deeper, listen to me, into their responsibility to live a holy life. Oh, my, my, my. It's getting mighty quiet in here. I'm getting a lot of deer in the headlight stares there right now. The meat of the word, all right? It's talking about going deeper beyond the foundation. It's going deeper, all right? It's teachings about, listen to me, what opens the door to the devil in the kingdom of darkness and how to shut those doors. Are you following me? That is the importance of growing spiritually. That is the importance of really plugging in to a good Bible-believing, spirit-filled church. Amen? So we need to sharpen, we need to sensitize our spirit man so we can discern both good and evil clearly, all right? Now, specifically from the word here, let's talk about our connection with the Holy Spirit and our born-again spirit in connection to discernment. I want to give you five different things, five different points that will make you more alert of what to pay attention to. Go to Acts 17. Acts 17. So that's why you see a lot of immature Christians that allow a lot of the things of the kingdom of darkness in their life, right? They love Jesus, they just don't know any different. Are you following me? That's where they need the meat, the strong meat of the word, and understand the deeper things of the spirit realm, the deeper things of living a holy life. Amen? Holiness is important to God, even if it isn't to you. Hello? Amen? So you got to understand this. Number one, your spirit man can be stirred up or provoked. Your spirit man, where the Holy Spirit lives, can be stirred or provoked. Acts 17, 16 through 17. Take a look at this. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit, underline it, was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. So what happened was this. The Apostle Paul's spirit man, it says it was provoked, it was stirred up within him when he saw that the whole city was given over to idols. Amen? If you're a Christian and you're comfortable when you see this city, this library, putting child porn and pornography in a library, if you're not getting stirred in your spirit, if you're not getting provoked, there's a problem. Listen, if you can go and walk the strip in Vegas and not have a problem with what you're seeing and what you're hearing, there's a problem. Are you following me? Now, so Paul was sensing the darkness. He was sensing the heaviness. Remember, your spirit man, your spirit man's born again. There's a connection with heaven. Amen. And so when Paul ran into that spiritual darkness, he felt that heaviness. Some people say it this way. Ready? He felt the bad vibes. There was something different going on. There's a difference. He felt the heaviness there, and it bothered him. Listen to this. The Greek word that's translated provoked or stirred means this: to be irritated or painfully excited. This is interesting. So a warning alarm was going off in Paul's spirit. He felt that irritation. He was so disturbed by the filth, by the idolatry that he was witnessing, that it literally motivated him to take action to preach the gospel in the whole city. There was such a stirring on the inside of him, he couldn't stay quiet. He couldn't stay still. Amen? Now, I would say the Holy Spirit had something to do with that. Amen? You know, again, have you ever been in a situation where something was off, something wasn't right, and you just felt stirred up and irritated? You were maybe in a store or something, and all of a sudden you got in a real bad mood. Something just feels not right. You were being stirred. You were being provoked because there was some kind of a clash with the kingdom of darkness in the spirit realm where you were at. Again, this all takes it back to the spirit realm. The spirit realm, it's the root of everything. Amen? So that is the Holy Spirit on the inside of your spirit, man, stirring you up, provoking you to take action, to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand up for the Word of God. Go with me real quick to Acts 16, 16 through 19. This one was not on the list, Silas. I just added this, but it's Acts 16, 16 through 19. Here's another one that we all know. Paul and his buds were preaching the gospel. They're traveling around, and this girl kept following them around. Listen to this. It says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination, a demon of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. By the way, psychics, fortune-telling, it's of the kingdom of darkness. Stop it, get rid of it, renounce it, see us for a deliverance so we can cast that demon out. Verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men, listen to what she says. She's demon-possessed. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim us to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. Look at this. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, not to the girl, to the demon that was speaking through her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. I want you to notice something real good. How many people who would not have spiritual discernment would have been, oh, wow, we got a little fangirl here. Oh, she must be a Christian, right? She's giving us accolades. All these men, oh, they're promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many Christians would have just let her go who would have no spiritual discernment at all? But it says, but I want you to notice, it says Paul let this go for some days. He didn't act right away. And then as it kept going, he started to get irritated. Something wasn't right. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said, now. And he said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. Yeah. And when that devil came out, notice, she couldn't bring any more financial gain to her masters. Why? Because it was a demon giving her that information for them. Yeah. It's a spirit of divination. Get away from it. Renounce it in the name of Jesus. But do you see my point? That even demonic spirits through people can, listen, can say real spiritual things. Oh, wow, right? Pastor James, oh, you're so anointed. Come out in the name of Jesus. Are you following me? Now, I'm not saying anyone here did that. I'm just saying. You understand. I'm just giving a, you know, because this girl was saying spiritual things. Oh, pay attention if your spirit man is being irritated. There's a provoking on the inside. Obey that. Don't not listen to it. Amen? All right, the word, let's move on. The word of God says that your spirit man, it kind of ties in with this first one, but can be compelled. Compelled. Go to Acts 18, verse 5. Acts 18, verse 5. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Ghost is speaking this morning. Acts 18, verse 5. It says, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. That word compel, that's translated compel, it literally means this. It means to be impressed upon, to arrest, or to compress. It means, I feel like I need to do something. I need to take action. Amen? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will press, will compel you into action just because, listen to this, the Holy Spirit's not going to force you to do anything. You got to understand that. The Holy Spirit will not force you to do anything. Just because the Holy Spirit is compelling you, you're going to feel that unction on the inside. You still need to, by your own free will, obey Him. You still need to obey Him. The Holy Spirit's not going to take you over. You're not a puppet on a string. Hello. You have a free will. So you need to obey that. Now, when your spirit man is compelled or pressed, you're feeling that pressing, the Holy Spirit is strongly urging or impressing something upon you. And listen to me. There is, if He's that strong on you in telling you to do something, here's what I call these things. It's a time bomb. It's a spiritual time bomb. There's a reason why He's telling you to do something now. Don't wait. Do it now. Because something, the Holy Spirit knows all things. He knows the perfect timing. When he tells you, now, go witness to someone, that person's heart is wide open for them to hear the gospel. And if you wait even just a little bit, that door might close. So Paul was compelled. He was pressed to witness to people about Jesus. So there will be times when you know that there's a divine appointment being set up and you are supposed to take advantage of it. That's the Holy Spirit pressing you, compelling you to move forward with what you are feeling. Amen? Don't fool around. Obey him. Press through the flesh. Your flesh is going to constantly tell you, oh, yeah, no, that's going to be too embarrassing. Don't do it. Don't do it. But there's going to be a blessing on the other end. If the Holy Spirit, what an honor that the Holy Spirit chooses us to reach mankind, to be used by him. That's like gold. That's like spiritual gold. We need to view it as such. And you know, it's just like someone who rides the bench on a team. They want to get in the game. They want to, and finally the coach says, you, go ahead, get in. And they're like, well, get in the game. Well, this is what you've been waiting for, right? Get in the game. Holy Spirit, use me, use me. And then he compels you, and then you're just sitting there on the bench. Get in the game. Do what he's calling you to do. Amen. Don't sit there looking dumb. Get in there. What an honor it is for the Holy Spirit to tap you on the shoulder and say, get in the game. I got a mission for you right here. Amen. So we must learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and obey him instantly when you feel that pressing or compelling on the inside. Next, your spirit man can have purpose. Say purpose. Go to Acts 19:21. Right? Yeah, I mean, it's like the person who sit in the bench and they complain they never play, and when it's time to go in, they complain again. Right? Yeah, I mean, it don't make sense. Acts 19:21. So that's why we need to always be ready to preach the gospel. Be ready. That's what the word says. Be ready in season and out of season. The key thing with both of those, be ready. That's it. Just be ready. Look at this. Acts 19:21. When these things were accomplished, Paul, underline it, purposed in his spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, After I have been there, I must also see Rome. So Paul was going to go to try to get some Catholic saved over there, I guess. Just kidding. We love them. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm just kidding, right? He was going to Rome. That's the joke, okay? Now, here we go. Paul purposed not in his carnal mind, not in his flesh, not with his fleshly emotions, but it says that he purposed in his spirit to carry on with a decision. His mind was made up. He purposed it. Say purposed. His heart was fixed. He was set on it. Regardless of what Paul's flesh was telling him, was saying to him, he purposed in his spirit to carry on with the plan from the Holy Spirit. And you want to know what that's called? Discipline. Discipline. A true disciple in Jesus has discipline. They maintain discipline to carry out the will of God. They have self-control. Say self-control. And discipline to carry out the will of God for their life. If you are going to carry on with the will of God in your life, you need to purpose it in your spirit man. That come hell or high water, what have we been hearing at this before I got up here preaching? That come hell or high water, I purpose and will obey God in my life, no matter what. No one's going to stop me. No situation's going to discourage me enough not to obey God. Amen? If you were to purpose If you were to purpose it in your fleshly mind to obey the will of God, guess what? You won't get very far. You won't get very far. That's why it says that he purposed it, come on, in his spirit. In his spirit. If you purpose something in your spirit, you know what? You want to know what that's saying? It means your heart, you're locked into it. Your heart is set. You're locked in. Nothing's going to move you. Amen? Your commitment to God, to your family, to your calling, must be purposed in your spirit, man. It's in your spirit, man, where the Holy Ghost resides to empower you and strengthen you to carry on through the tough times, as we heard this morning. Amen? Here, I wanted to real quick touch on this. Do you have an addiction? Do you have some kind of addiction, some kind of bondage in your life today? Here's what you need to do. You want to know the first step to breaking free from it? Purpose it in your heart, in your spirit, man, to make a break from that thing. Until you purpose it in your heart, nothing will change. Nothing will change. As long as you make empty promises to quit, the only thing you're being led by is your flesh, your fleshly emotions. And here's the truth about this. At that point, the Holy Spirit cannot help you overcome any bondage. The Holy Spirit's waiting on you to do one thing with that. Purpose it in your heart to break free from it. The moment you purpose it in your heart that you've had enough of this drug, alcohol, pornography, whatever it is, you had enough of it. Now the Holy Spirit says, finally, I have something to work with. But you got to get to that point. Until you get to that point, nothing's gonna change. Amen? So you need to purpose it in your heart to obey God and not your flesh, sin, or the devil. All right? Now, next. The Word of God says that you can be bound in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times we think of being bound by something, we think of it in a negative way. When you're bound in your spirit by the Holy Ghost, that's a positive thing. Amen? Go with me to Acts 20. Acts 20, verses 22 through 24. Ooh, it's hot up here. I feel like I'm in Florida this morning. All right. Acts 20. 22 through 24. The Word of God, again, the Word of God says that you can be bound in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Look at this. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. How many would say, that's not the Holy Spirit speaking? Why? Why can we accept that? Because the Holy Spirit never promised that we would be free from persecution for the sake of the gospel. In fact, it says we will be persecuted for the sake of the gospel. But Paul didn't care. He purposed in his spirit, I'm going and obeying God. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of the, oh, I love this. Listen to underline this whole verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Man, that's encouraging. Nothing's going to move me. Nothing's going to move me. Not someone who treated me bad in a relationship who dumped me. Nothing's going to move me. I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen? Amen? It doesn't matter what happens, hell or high water, I'm with Jesus. I'm sticking with Jesus. Amen? So when God wants to put you somewhere, when He's calling you to a place, He binds you in your spirit to that place. In other words, You're focused on that thing, amen? That topic, that place, that thing that He's trying to bind you to, you can't shake it out of your heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When God binds you in your spirit, you can, listen to me, you cannot and you will not be fulfilled with anywhere or anything else. Anything or anywhere else is gonna manifest this. Are you ready? You're gonna feel empty and unfulfilled on the inside. Why? Because you're trying to attach yourself to something where God's not binding you to. There will constantly be a lack of peace. Not here, right in your spirit, man. Apart from that place, when you're apart from that place, that thing that God's binding you to, there will always be a lack of peace. Listen to me real good. Don't ever walk away from something to which God is binding you to. Stay the course. Don't quit, because there's a blessing attached to it. And you're forfeiting your blessing when you go try to bind yourself apart from where God's trying to bind you to. Your peace, your joy, your happiness, your provision, your blessing are all in that location. Whether it's a job, whether if it's a city to live in, whether if it's a school, a college, whatever it is, you name it. Your blessing is in that place. You know, I found something out. The Holy Spirit's real practical. He's real practical. He wants to lead you and guide you in every decision that has importance in your life, right? I'm not talking, should I wear the green or the red shirt today? Whatever. You know, I'm talking about the important things in life, things that are really going to shift the direction of your life. That's what he's interested in. Amen? Listen to this. Don't just go to any church. Let God bind you in your spirit to that place he wants you to be planted in. And when you find that church, stay there and grow spiritually. Don't run off when the pastor preaches something that you don't like hearing. Don't run off when there's a needed spiritual correction given. Amen. God, listen to this. Oh, this is so good. Listen to this. God created places before he created people. Isn't that interesting? God created the place. God created the Garden of Eden before he created Adam and Eve. And then God placed them in that garden, and he gave them purpose. He gave them a job. A job. He gave them purpose. Say purpose. God does everything with purpose. If he's telling you to move somewhere, if he's telling you to go somewhere, he's compelling you and provoking you to do something. Friend, listen, it's for a purpose. You probably won't see it, but he does. Amen. And that's when faith kicks in. You're doing it even when it doesn't even make sense to your natural mind. But you feel it on the inside. You feel peace about it. That's so good. Hallelujah. So purpose must be, listen to me, purpose must be attached to every area of our life. A life full of purpose is a fulfilling life. A life lacking purpose is a sad life. And that's why you see people running all over the place like nomads. No, don't know what's going on. Why? Because there's no purpose. There's no direction. Slow down. Pray. Take the time to hear from the Holy Ghost. Amen? I like to say it this way. Listen to this. Many people, many Christians, let's say, many Christians have location frustration. Say that with me. Location frustration. They're either in the wrong place or they're not being faithful in the place where God has called them. Are you following me? They're either in the wrong place or they're not being faithful in the place where God is called them. Or, this is a big one for us Christians. Oh, how we have fallen into this. Wrong timing. The thing may have been the will of God down the road, and we got out of timing. And now we gotta go back and slow down and say, okay, God, fix this now. Fix this, Lord. I don't know how to fix it. I've made a mess out of it. I'm convinced that there's some things that we as Christians chase and get and become a part of or do something. But it wasn't necessarily not the will of God. It's just the wrong timing. It's just the wrong timing. Say timing. So allow God to bind your spirit to the right place, the right people, and the right plan in your life. Amen? Now, I think this is the last one. It is. Everyone give a hand right now. Yeah, there we go. All right, now, here we go. Your spirit man will give you peace about the right direction for your life. I want to show you something very interesting that the Holy Spirit revealed to me. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Your spirit man will give you peace about the right direction for your life. You got to remember, everything that is meant for us will manifest peace for us. Not here, right here, right? So if you have that peace in your spirit, man, you know what that means? It means God purposed that thing for you. All right? Look at this. Colossians 3:15. Okay, there's one more scripture after this. But listen to this. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful." So it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. I say it all the time from this pulpit. I want to say it again just to dig it deeper, impact it deeper on the inside of you. Ready for this? If it's not quite, it's not right. If you don't have that peace, hold off. Don't proceed forward. Amen? I'm not here. In your spirit, man. Amen? If you don't have that peace or rest in your spirit about a relationship, about an acquaintance, about a friendship, a decision in your life, then you need to take a step back and pray. Isaiah 28:16 says this, "Whoever believes will not act hastily." Oh, let me say that again. Whoever believes will not act hastily. So if you truly want to be led by the Holy Spirit, you need to take the time to invite him into that situation by praying about it. All right? Here's the deal. Ready for this? You can never go wrong by taking the time to pray about a situation or a thing. Now, here's this little caveat that I want to throw at you guys. All right? This is real popular among the Christian circles. All right? Unless you already know what to do and you're using prayer as a delay tactic. Well, I want to pray about it. Hey, you want to do nursery? Well, I want to pray about it. Sure. Amen. Again, you can never go wrong when you truly don't know something. When you truly are questioning something, the Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, great job. Step back. You invited me into the situation. You asked for wisdom. You asked for guidance. But don't use prayer as a delay tactic to do what you know what to do. Amen? And by the way, here's the thing that you got to understand. The Holy Spirit knows if you're doing that or not. We might not, but he does. Amen. So here's the deal. You got to understand. People can put on a good show in person, yet have the wrong motives. Amen. If you will be sensitive on the inside, you will feel that check about something. You'll feel that. We call it a check. It's like, oh, there's a disruption in the peace on the inside. No, it wasn't the Taco Bell the other night. No, something's going on spiritually. Are you following me? Something's different. All right. What do you do about a Christian or Christians that are in deception about a situation? How many of you know a Christian that's in a deception about a situation? Oh, dude, you don't have to read. Okay, yeah, there you go. Well, lots of hands. All right. Yeah. So how many of you know they're in the wrong thing? They're out of the will of God, but they have a false peace about it in their heart. Say false peace. Oh, false peace is very deceptive. How do you know if you have the peace of God, the true peace of God, or a counterfeit? How do you know? All right? Because when you have a false peace, you're self-deceived. You're deceived. You think it's the right thing, but it's really not, right? I found something very interesting. This is what I wanted to bring up, my last scripture here. I found something very interesting in the Word of God that will assure us that we are, if we're hearing from the Holy Spirit or not. How many of you want to hear this? You want to know, do I have a false peace about this thing, or is this thing from the Holy Ghost? Now, go to Colossians 3. We're there. Just jump down to verses 12 through 14. 12 through 14. And it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And here's that verse we just read. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell or abide in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, verse 15, where it says, let the peace of God rule or umpire in your heart. Here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. Verse 15 is sandwiched in between the safeguards for that instruction. In other words, the Holy Spirit's saying this, if you're walking the Christian walk with tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, which is teachableness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, walking in forgiveness, walking in love, letting the word of Christ, the word of God, dwell in you richly or abundantly in all wisdom. He's saying this, if you do those things, you can trust and expect to be led by the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? I've never seen that before. Verse 15 about letting peace rule in your heart is sandwiched by the instructions that will safeguard you from walking in false peace. You will avoid the pitfalls of deception and a counterfeit peace from the flesh and the enemy. Many Christians that are deceived in a situation by a false peace are tangled up in pride, and they're not being a doer of the word. They're not letting the word of God dwell richly in their heart. I guarantee you, listen to me, I guarantee you, a Christian that has a false peace is out of order in one or more of that list in Colossians 3. Are you following me? If I were you, I would write all those things on a note card and put it on every mirror in your home and read it. That's how you safeguard yourself if you're truly being led by the Holy Spirit or by a false peace. So, church, commit today to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God and to sharpen your spiritual senses or discernment. Become familiar with the precious Holy Spirit. He's trying to lead you. He's guiding you right here in your spirit, man. Not in your head, not in your fleshly emotions, but right here in your spirit, man. It's only then that you will live a fulfilling and abundant life on this earth, and you can discern and align yourself. Come on, this is what it's all about, with God's plan for your life. Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on forward. Keys to spiritual discernment. Hallelujah. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Don't leave this earth without making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Last breath, game over. Your destination, your eternal destination is sealed. If you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, come on down and pray with one of the prayer team members. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've fallen away from the Lord. Maybe you're one, the Holy Spirit revealed to you, wow, I've been walking in a false peace. I've been believing a false peace. But today, this message gave me a spiritual tune-up. Come on. And I want to rededicate to the Lord. I want to recommit to fulfilling the will of God for my life. If that's you, just come forward and pray with one of the prayer team members. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, we always want to give an opportunity to do that because that's where your power comes from. Amen. Jesus said you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, maybe you need prayer for healing or anything else, a loved one. They'll stay here to pray with you as long as possible. Just make sure they're out of here by 3 p.m. today. So, no, I'm just kidding. All right, I love you all. I hope, you know, take this word, meditate on it, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Love on him, talk to him, just like your spouse. No, better than your spouse. All right, have a great week, everyone. I love you all. God bless you.